In-depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Usable news and information for your job. And now, here's Francis Rose.
Welcome to the program for Wednesday, February 2nd, 2011 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We dodged a bullet and did not get the ice storm we were anticipating, and it's actually looking pretty sunny outside our Northwest D.C. studios, so we're happy for that. Happy Groundhog Day to you. My Facebook page, I've got a video posted of the Punxsutawney Phil Groundhog seeing his shadow, and so we have winter coming to an end very soon, and I think everybody loves that idea. Congress likes the idea of not having to travel back to their home states and districts in bad weather, and Congress is back, the 112th Congress in session, and one of the people who's thinking about what is going on potentially in that Congress is Larry Allen. He's president of Allen Federal Business Partners, and you may remember him from such jobs as the president of the Coalition for Government Procurement, and Larry's my guest for the first part of the show today. It's great to talk to you, Larry. How are things?
Francis, things are good, and I'm happy to report it's sunny in McLean as well.
That's excellent. That's good to know. But things are always sunny in McLean, aren't they? It's a great place to be.
They are if you're in government procurement.
That's fantastic. Speaking of being in government procurement, what are you seeing on the horizon as you hear President Obama talk about reforming government and reorganizing it, and now we know Jeff Zients is going to be leading that effort out of OMB. Any of that bode anything good or bad or neutral for the procurement end of things?
Well, Francis, I think it's a tremendous opportunity when you're talking about reforming government. And certainly Jeff Zients is someone who has been the point person on a number of acquisition-related policy moves by this administration so far, and he's somebody who's proven that he gets the job done when he's given a task. Can't help but wondering, though, if this task of reforming government and consolidating what to the common eye might look like redundant operations might be a pretty tall order for him or for anyone else for that matter, particularly given that we're in the second half now of the current administration. This is type of initiative that you usually see at the outset of a new administration. We certainly saw that at the beginning of the Clinton administration with the Vice President's National Performance Review Initiative. I think this pattern is going to try and be repeated by Mr. Zients, but not sure how profound an effect it's going to have.
What about Congress? We're starting to see at least some markers laid down for legislation about changing the way that procurement is done. Members of Congress want to try to find efficiencies, and people are already starting to get a little nervous about some of the things that Secretary Gates is talking about at DOD. What's the landscape look like congressionally, legislation-wise, for acquisition and procurement stuff?
Well, I think there are two tracks we can talk about here, and one I think is kind of a positive track, and that is maybe injecting some common sense into parts of the government procurement process. Specifically, there are several bills now that have been introduced in the Senate that would repeal the 3% withholding law that was passed, oh, 7 or 8 years ago now, that would require the government to withhold 3% of payments from all contractors. Sounded good on theory. It was something that is still on the books today, although it's never been put in motion, and that's because neither government agencies nor government contractors think it is A, workable, or B, desirable. So the idea that we have some momentum now to actually repeal that type of thing, I think speaks very positively about this Congress. On the other hand, I think that with the coming in of 60 new Republican freshmen and 90 new members of the House overall, you've got some opportunities here for people whose heart is in the right place, but maybe they don't understand exactly the effect of some of their legislative proposals on the acquisition system. You can do all kinds of things with the government's acquisition system, Francis, but the bottom line is whatever system you have has to be able to work. And I'll be keeping a wary eye on what some of the newer members might want to be doing in this area.
What's the learning curve there? What's the education process like? And are you starting to get a sense of whether the new members are receptive to hearing how the process works from the perspective of people who have worked in it? Or are they pretty hard set on, we're just going to do things, do whatever we think is right and damn the consequences?
Well, I think so far the people that I've been speaking with are very open to hearing the side of the story from folks who have been in the system for a while, which is good and important. You have freshman Republicans in subcommittee chairmanships that are critical both in the acquisition area and in the closely related small business area, because there's so much that can come out that affects government acquisition from that committee. The idea that we have people in those slots that are willing to talk, at least right now, I think is a good thing. The learning curve government acquisition is one of those things that's never been all that popular with Congress writ large, which is kind of understandable. So if we've got one or two members that really dig into this and start to understand the ins and outs, I think that would be a very good thing. You know, our concern is always that there's a member that hears a story on an isolated incident that happened to a constituent that shouldn't have happened, and then puts together a legislative fix or perceived legislative fix to that problem, and that comes out of some area where you're not expecting it, and then you can have a real problem on your hands.
Yeah. I imagine sometimes those fixes wind up not really fixing anything, but that it's the reason that we wind up with the FAR looking the way it looks.
And we actually had that happen last year, too, with an experienced legislator who had a very good idea about transparency, who's put a provision in a larger piece of legislation that opens up the government's past performance and evaluation system to anybody that wants to look at it. And the net effect of that is it's having a fairly chilling effect on the participation in the government market of a number of commercial, predominantly commercial companies who maybe don't want everybody and their brother to look at information that was really primarily intended for acquisition professionals in the first place.
It's interesting because that's one area where every official that you hear from at the agencies and at GSA or anybody else, they want more of that. And so legislation like that that's counterproductive to that would seem to be quite a burr in their saddles, I would think.
Well, I think transparency is generally a good thing, and I'm not here to rail against transparency, but transparency is not a self, nor should it be, a self-executing goal. It has to be looked at in the perspective of what it is that you're trying to do. And if you tell people initially, hey, we're going to use this information on you or company only for certain purposes, and then suddenly you change that on them and now you're going to be using it for other purposes, well, you know, that can have a profound effect on a company's overall portfolio, not just its government business, but how its stock price is viewed if it's a publicly traded company. Similarly, we as a government want to be very careful about who we're showing what we're buying, because we don't always or shouldn't always be showing everybody what the government's up to, because that can tip our hand on strategies and intentions that we have in areas like defense and national security.
Larry Allen's president of Allen Federal Business Partners. He's with me now on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. And Larry, I'm going to link up your website later this afternoon on federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, so folks who know you and can find you, well, even folks who don't know you can find you. Everybody's talking about the budget crunch that's coming or that's already here, and we'll learn more as the budget comes out starting next week. The administration's expected to roll it out. When we come back from the break, though, Larry, I'd like like to talk about what you think that tight budget might mean for acquisition and maybe for the workforce in particular, because that's the one area where people keep saying we need more training and we need more people, and those are two things, obviously, that require money. If there's going to be less money overall for agencies, I'd be interested to hear your thoughts about what effect that might have. We'll do that, have that conversation when Larry Allen rejoins me after the break on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
For over 40 years, Mantech employees have been solving complex problems for the national security community. Whether they're providing secure satellite communications to the Department of Defense or investigating threats in cyberspace for intelligence agencies, their work is distinguished by high ethical standards and a deep commitment to their customers' success. They've created a culture that encourages individuals to bring innovative ideas and technology to those charged with protecting the homeland. Due to the high demand for Mantech skills and expertise, they have tremendous career opportunities for cleared, highly skilled IT professionals, security experts, intelligence analysts, engineers, and technicians. In 2010, Mantech was selected for Fortune Magazine's 100 Fastest Growing Companies list, named a top 10 best employer for veterans by Military Times Edge Magazine, and for the fourth year in a row, was selected as a top 10 military-friendly employer by GI Jobs Magazine. Apply for openings today at mantech.com/careers. That's mantech.com/careers. Mantech is an equal opportunity employer.
The FedCloud blog on federalnewsradio.com takes a look at the issues surrounding cloud computing through the eyes of those who are using it every day. We'll share with you the challenges, opportunities, and lessons learned from some of the top minds in the world of federal IT. Collaborate with others and help shape the discussion on cloud computing at the FedCloud blog on federalnewsradio.com or follow the FedCloud blog on Twitter. The FedCloud blog is sponsored by Cisco and Intel.
Are you a woman between the ages of 35 and 60 with noticeable fine lines and wrinkles? If you answered yes, we're looking for you. We are currently seeking women to try an instant skin-firming serum called Instant Effect. As part of this opportunity, we will send you a free trial of the product, and you may have the chance to appear in a national advertising campaign. To take advantage of this unique opportunity, please call 1-800-500-0365 in the next 10 minutes. Instant Effect is a breakthrough beauty discovery that tightens skin on contact and takes years off your appearance. Simply smooth the lightweight serum on your wrinkles and fine lines and watch as they disappear from view in less than 90 seconds. If you're interested in seeing how young you can look in as little as 90 seconds risk-free, you must call in the next 10 minutes. Instant Effect is now available at Ulta stores, but for this exclusive free radio offer, you must call 1-800-500-0365. Hurry, when this offer's gone, it's gone. 1-800-500-0365.
I wasn't born to go with the flow. I was born to make a difference, to make waves. I want my sweat and hard work to mean something. I was born to serve in the United States Coast Guard. If you were born ready to lead, to protect, to uphold the law, then visit GoCoastGuard.com. The United States Coast Guard. Born ready.
Sponsored by the United States Coast Guard. In cooperation with the Maryland, D.C., Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorabeck. Here's what we're working on for the Dorabeck Insider this afternoon. Is there a secret to programs that work? The Center for American Progress, they've spoken to more than 200 experts over the past 6 months. Their new report, just out, will talk to them about those secrets. And have we abandoned IT security and we're all about cybersecurity? Does it matter? Is there a difference? We'll find out this afternoon, 3 to 7, on the Dorabeck Insider. It's right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest for the first part of the show today, Larry Allen, president of Allen Federal Business Partners, and we're talking about the, actually it's your crystal ball, I guess, isn't it, Larry? It's your procurement and acquisition crystal ball, not predictions exactly.
Not predictions, but educated.
Educated guesses.
That's right.
Educated projections.
That's right.
We'll call them.
Crystal ball gets a lot of use these days. It's nice and shiny.
Well, things are a lot different than they have been in the federal market for a long time, and most of it is being generated because of the budget situation that agencies are expecting to find themselves in over the next couple of years. We'll find out starting next week what the president is expecting or thinking budget-wise. A lot of anticipation in particular about DOD's budget, but other agencies also expecting to start to see somewhat of a budget crunch. And I'm wondering what you think that might mean for the acquisition efforts of each agency in general, but in particular for the workforce, because that's one area that's really capital, money intensive.
It is, and I think what that's going to mean for the acquisition workforce, Francis, particularly we'll start to see this first in DOD, but other agencies aren't immune from it, is a pushback against what had been a tide of let's staff up the acquisition workforce, hire a lot more people to do program management, contract management, and oversight. That's been a mantra that has been out there for about 2, maybe 3 years in the acquisition arena, but now it's running against the reality of very, very tight budgets. And there are a lot of people out there who are concerned that this is going to mean that efforts to ramp up some of that contract management staff are not going to be successful. They're not going to come into fulfillment. And what does that mean in terms of how you as a government agency provide not just good awards, but good management of your acquisitions through their life cycle? It's going to be something that is interesting to see. I would bet that we are probably going to run a little short because of the tight budgets in terms of providing a fully staffed acquisition workforce, which is unfortunate, because there are some real issues that need to be addressed, like not just turning contracts out, but making sure that somebody in the government agency is managing them and through their life cycle and making sure that the government continues to get good values from those awards. It takes a lot of money to do that, and there are a number of people who feel that that function is inherently governmental. So if you're having a tough time hiring and attracting people and now looking at the prospect of a pay freeze, that's going to affect the acquisition workforce too.
I can understand why there would be some apprehension there, because I've never had one single vendor or one single agency person say to me, either on or off the record, yeah, we've got enough people and they're trained just fine and we can handle everything that's being thrown at us. Everybody seems to be in agreement that there are more people needed and they need to, the training level needs to improve.
Well, and I think that is accurate. We saw last year in the Department of Defense hiring of a number of people to provide oversight analysis of contracts that are already in the pipeline. Ashton Carter made a big deal about this. His subordinates made a big deal about it as well. But that is not a one-year effort. That would be a multi-year effort to bring it up to the speed that it needs to be in order to manage all of the things that DOD is doing. Now, with the tight budgets at DOD, you're talking about savings that would go to other things that are very well needed, like direct support to the warfighters. But unfortunately, what that means is that the emphasis on continuing to staff up the acquisition realms, particularly those that provide acquisition oversight, might fall down the priority list a few rungs on the ladder.
All right. In just a couple of words, because we just have a little bit of time left, are you overall positive or overall negative or overall neutral on where you think the acquisition community is headed over the next, say, year to 2 years?
I'm overall slightly positive. I think that we've come over a hump of people who think that all contractors are crooks, and we're starting to get back on a little bit more of an even footing and understanding that the business of government needs to get done, albeit with good transparency and oversight.
And, of course, last and most important question of this conversation, Green Bay or Pittsburgh on Sunday?
My heart's with the Packers, but elsewhere, other parts are with the Steelers.
Okay, understandable, and I appreciate your time today. Larry Allen, president of Allen Federal Business Partners, great to talk to you today.
Thanks, Francis.